Our lesson this morning is going to be on what we have celebrated, of course, yesterday on our independence and our freedom here in this country. So our lesson this morning, I want to look at freedom. And I want to look at it from the subject of the Scripture, what it means in a true sense of the Scripture meaning of the term freedom. First, before we get into that, a little bit of an English lesson, and I apologize for these English lessons that we have to have once in a while, but they're impertinent to sometimes understanding Scripture because of the language changes and differences. And so I ask a question this morning. First off, what is a paradox? Can you describe a paradox? Well, it's a statement or a proposition seemingly self-contradicting or absurd, but in reality may express a truth. That's a paradox. It is an apparent contradiction that is contrary to popular opinion, but it often holds truth. And there is at least one found in, well, there's more than one, but there's one found in 1 Corinthians. And if we are ever able to appreciate what freedom is in the full sense of the Scripture, we must learn the truth of this seemingly paradox of chapter 7, verse 22 in 1 Corinthians. So turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, page 1707 in the Companion Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. Let me read it again. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called being free is Christ's servant. You know, the Scripture is a piece of work. you can't make this stuff up. Here, the very slave, a slave, if a believer can rejoice in the fact that despite fetters and chains made by man, he is free, the Lord's free man. In the same way, a person who is totally free, the captain of every aspect of his life, and is a Christian, should remember he is a slave of Christ. That's what the paradox here is telling us. And there's much more here in this verse than meets the eye at first, because it has to do with the desires of the flesh. It is a paradox that expresses little known truth, actually. You see, it goes, the paradox, something like this. To seek liberty is our natural nature. Bondage is galling in any way. To seek liberty, because to our nature, bondage is galling, is to seek under the cloak of the term liberty, which is actually satisfaction of the flesh. There's a difference between freedom and liberty. We don't like bondage. And so we tend to seek under the term liberty, which is so often satisfaction of the flesh. And you can't blame one for it. It's just a natural phenomenon. On the other hand, if one is given the opportunity in the Lord to use liberty and fails to do so because it brings with it irksome, uncomfortable, or hazardous responsibilities, that is likewise pandering to the flesh. There are responsibilities that come with freedom. Unfortunately, by nature, we judge everything by the flesh and outward appearance, but it is God who looks upon the heart. On the other hand, the slave, if a believer, can rejoice in the fact that despite the consternation of shackles and chains in bondage to the mind of the flesh, he is free. Christ, free man, described here in Corinthians. The desires of the flesh are ignored by him because of this knowledge of being set free in Christ. Something that's comfortable? No. But for the slave that is a Christian, it becomes secondary, this liberty that he seeks. We'll see more about that with regard to Paul and his life. Likewise, the same bondage to the mind of the flesh that occurs and accompanies freedom to the worldly, therefore boasting, selfishness, adultery, lust, etc., hedonism, self-gratification, also vanishes when viewed by Christ. One is no different than the other. Now you might ask, well, Redmond, what then does freedom bring to the believer? Well, turn to the book of Liberty. Which book is that? Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 5, page 1756. Galatians chapter 5. Beginning with verse 1. Paul says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Skip over to verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Did you hear that? What does love bring? It brings bondage. The thought of this love bringing bondage is echoed in another verse in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, page 1858. 1 Peter chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the neighborhood, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king." Wow. What a recipe for today's mess that we find in our country. In both passages, freedom is but an opportunity for bondage, but the bondage of love. Liberty that brings a change of master and a different set of priorities and principles. We see this same principle talked about by Paul in Romans, bondage and freedom. Turn back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 6. Know this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And then jump to verse 12. Let us not sin, therefore, let sin not therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Then verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Then verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Verse 18, being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I in my mind, I remember the old TV program, Gomer Pyle. Golly, what? Here the character of liberty is clearly stated. We are slaves. We have been set free to enter into a new slavery. We have therefore a changed master, so to speak. No longer are we master to sin and death, to wantonness, being inconsiderate, prodigal, wasteful, malicious, lawless, immoral, but rather a master to righteousness. We are slaved to that. Turn over a page there in Romans to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. However, we are still under the law of grace, but we no longer serve this master of unrighteousness. It says this is the spirit of life in Christ. But being delivered from the law of sin and death does not give us license for whatever. Paul says in Corinthians, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage. Why? Because of his love. He becomes bound by it. He says, I buffet my body and bring it into bondage. Therefore, self-discipline is what he's talking about to the Christian. Paul was a prisoner of Rome and Roman power because of Jewish enmity, but he described it as a prisoner of the Lord, and he was Christ's free man, even while he was chained 24 hours a day to a Roman guard. He considered himself as Christ's bond slave because of his love. Are we not slaves as well? To some respect, as was Paul? Yes. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, page 1705. chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We cannot serve two masters. You are either a master to unrighteousness or a master to the Father. Paul, at the end of the book of Galatians, says, I bear in my body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. The marks that he refers to are referred to as the stigmata in Scripture. The stigmata is the branding of soldiers or of slaves to show to whom they belong. And Paul says that he was marked with this stigmata, the body, the brand mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was branded literally for his loving service to the Master that he eventually came to serve and love after his salvation on the Damascus Road. The poor fellow, he was beaten 5 times with 39 stripes, beaten 3 times with Roman rods, stoned, naked and afraid, shipwrecked, cold, hungry, swimming in the deep, ridiculed, dying daily, he described it as. He carried a thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was. But whatever it was, he asked the Lord to remove it, and the Lord said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And of course, he was chased for 30 years by the Pharisees and the Romans and everybody trying to kill him for all that time. So he was well branded with the stigmata of Christianity. And yet he still raised the battle cry. I sometimes think of Paul almost as being egotistical. He said, stand fast to the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free, and follow me as I follow Christ. And with all of these things that he suffered, he referred to them only as light afflictions. His love of Christ bound him to a freedom rather than being bound to unrighteousness. For this, he was branded the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. Did his marks consist only of the scars of the rods and the scourge? No, they are indicated for us in the threefold crucifixion of Galatians. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. Verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So he's crucified to sin and the law of death. Turn over to chapter 5 of Galatians. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the afflictions and the lust thereof. So he was crucified to sin and to the law, crucifixion to the flesh with its afflictions and its desires. And then in chapter 6, verse 14, but God forbid that I should glory, save the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. So Paul was a bond slave of Christ, although he was a free man in his mind. The freedom which knows not these marks that he talks about is delusion. And these delusions are we see today in our society promised in the rioters and the protesters of today. But if all loving Christian service is unto him, we shall understand what is the paradox then of 1 Corinthians 7:22. For he that is called in the Lord, being a slave, is the Lord's free man. Likewise also, he that is called, being free, is Christ's slave. It's a little bit different perspective on freedom than what we normally think about. What it boils down to is the results of love is bondage. But it's bondage to a different set of rules and a different master. And that's where the Apostle Paul was. In fact, he was in bondage to the place where he had his head chopped off, probably. We don't know that for sure, but there's quite a bit of evidence that that's what actually happened to him. But nevertheless, he was a free man as a result of his love of Christ. That's where we should be as Christians today in our Christian service, willing to go forward because of our love and bondage to him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the freedom that we do have, the liberty that we have as a result of your love and as a result of your finished work at Calvary's cross. We're thankful for the salvation that we have as a result of that. We're thankful for the written word once again. I pray that you would give us all open hearts and minds as we study the word, that we may continue to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you. I pray that as we depart, may we all be rooted and grounded in your love and be free as a result. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.